Yeah, man, what's going on with that, man?
Yeah, I had to make sure.
You said we was about to go mime today, huh? Straight sign language. I don't know what's going on with my mic, though. But, yo, we here Thursday. What is it? September 16th. About to start week two tonight. Week one was crazy.
A good week one, man. That's what ball is about, man. That's what this game is about. The unknowns. That's why we get dressed up when we play the game.
That's a fact. What was your takeaways from that Monday night though? That Raiders Raven. How week one ended.
Hey, that's football, man. And I think that's what the fans love about the game. I also learned you got to play 60 plus minutes to get the win.
60 plus.
And a great game out there in Vegas, man. I had the Raiders winning that game.
You picked the Raiders?
Yeah, I picked the Raiders. Didn't start off looking too good for me, but a good ending to week one, man. Good ending to week one. We're going to start week two tonight. I think we'll have another good matchup, divisional matchup.
How did you I know my week ones, my straight ups didn't look too good. It was real iffy.
Yeah, my straight ups was iffy.
Suspect. My dogs against the spread though. I mean, against the spread was like, I want to say underdog, all of them together were like 12-4 in week one. And out of my, I think I picked 7. I was 6-1. And hopefully we follow that up this week. Did you check the Manny cast out?
I seen a little bit of it. I knew that was going to be clutch. Yeah. Just with Eli and Peyton, I knew that was going to be clutch. I think they had a great portion of that when you bringing the guys in, Russell, Charles,
Ray
Kelsey.
Lewis.
Yeah, Ray Lewis. So I think that was a dope touch to it. So, and obviously you got two guys that know football at the back of their hands, man. So it was definitely dope to see.
Yeah, I think it's definitely not for the super casual. I mean, unless you just want to, see, because obviously Peyton and Eli got some personality too. But Russ, I think he's going to be great in the booth if that's what he wants to do. But I know as a player, especially as a DB, as a defensive player, like, I loved hearing, quarterbacks and how they think through certain situations, how they were calling, certain things. Hey, I'm expecting Ruggs to get a shot here again. He's back in there, just different things and how they think about it. So, that was every Monday I'm going to be tapped into that.
Yeah, man, to the youngsters, man, if you're watching this live or if you even kind of hear about it, hear this episode later. So I was at Howard University at the practice, right? And they was doing one-on-ones down in the red zone. And, the receiver did a corner route, quarterback threw it right to the pylon or whatever, right? So I was like, as a defender, you got to know that. Like, sometimes, like, if you just chilling, just walk into a quarterback's meeting room or into a receiver's room and just hear how they talk and what they're talking about. Because I promise you can take that on to the field. So I told the DB, I said, hey, when you're in the red zone, where's the quarterback trying to throw this ball?
Mm-hmm.
So the receiver was like, he was just hearing us. He was like, they always tell the quarterback to throw it to the pylon. I'm like, just those type of things right there where you can just sit in the – just stand in the huddle where the quarterbacks are talking, just pick up these little nuggets, man. I used
quarterbacks,
to love
hear quarterback coaches talk to them.
Exactly. So I used to love just sitting at the lunch table with Peyton when he's talking about a team that we're about to play, and he's just saying, like, man, we're going to do this, that, and the third. And I'm just listening. I'm like, okay, well, I know if he's thinking this, I'm pretty sure other quarterbacks is thinking the same thing. So it's like one of them things you can just kind of take as a nugget. So, like you – to what you were saying, just to be able to hear those quarterbacks talking the way they thinking, man, I think DBs, man, you'll be fooled not to even just sit back and just listen to that for a little bit.
For real, man. Even Travis Kelce, I mean, they were talking about, you know, some of their, you know, concepts and how he has the freedom to just get open sometimes as long as he's not, you know, interrupting somebody else's route. You know, how they approach, you know, whether it's 2 minute, 4 minute, like, hey, Peyton, like, you guys want to score fast here? What's your philosophy here? So just different. And then Eli, one of the things that's jumped out to me, which obviously we know, once you kind of get in that fringe area, kind of that 20 to 25, Eli was like, man, we always had plays draw, hey, it's a touchdown or it's a check down. So as you get there, because obviously, you know, as you get closer, that field gets smaller, so it's harder to score. So knowing that as a player, as a DB, hey, first and 10 from the 26, 24, like, all right, let me expect, you know, double post, scissors route, something to try to get in. Yeah.
Grab routes, yeah.
That shit was prime. Who else would you want to see doing a cast like that? Because I remember watching, I'm like, man, I would love to see like Ed Reed.
Yeah,
and
that's what I'm
really
saying.
Just talking ball like
I want to see the defensive side of the ball, right? So where you got two, you know, you got one Hall of Famer, I think, and then Eli, he'll be a future Hall of Famer. So just imagine if you had like a Ed Reed and a C Wood talking. And just see how they kind of envision the game and how they see the game. An Ed Reed or a Troy Polamalu, you know what I mean? Where you got two quarterbacks, now you got two safeties of guys that were very instinctive, that played the position that was, you know, the way it was supposed to be played. Or you could get you a Ray, you know what I mean? Get you a Ray and just see how.
Yeah, Ray was in. They had a lot of good dialogue between him and Ray Lewis, because that's, you know, who Peyton said, hey, this is the best linebacker I ever played against.
Yeah.
And he was talking about, you know, how he would even watch some TV copy games just to pick up on those audibles and shit. So definitely dope, man.
Nah, definitely dope.
About
man.
A man
I like
man cast. Okay. That's possible.
Oh, man, we'll go up there and talk some. Break some film down.
Word up. I would love to do something like that.
Yeah, I think it'll be dope. You know what I mean? Just like, cause like at that point, it's like you in the game. Okay, it's second and long. What am I expecting? You know what I mean?
Get back on track.
You know, get the third and manageable. You know, first and 10 after a successful play. Like, what are we expecting? So, man, I would love to be able to do that. You know, get some of my brothers on there on the telecast as well.
Sudden change.
Shot. You know.
Right off the rip, sudden change. Hey, Shot, we got the ball in alumni area. Hey, alert this. So definitely for sure, man, for the fan that's, you know, especially for the fan that's interested in learning and knowing more about the game, that would definitely be dope. Somebody's G.I. Joe, just said Orlovsky at DB. So I don't know if you saw it on Twitter when Dan was talking about that blown coverage or that non-blown coverage.
when a receiver gets that far away from the secondary, like, it's definitely a blown coverage. Like,
when he's 20 yards from the nearest defender.
Yeah, you're not – a quarterback not looking nobody off that good. Like,
so he was – I mean, he was arguing. Like, I mean, this was like a 3-day straight up until – what was yesterday? Yesterday morning, he sent me another clip of the Tyler Lockett touchdown against the Colts in quarter half. Like, hey, what's the difference here? I'm like, Dan, let me tell you the difference. Let's go through the differences first and foremost. And he finally tweeted me, and I put that in the frame. Because if you know him, he ain't never wrong, boy. But
hey, did you like quarter halves when you were playing?
I liked it. I liked it because it gave us tools, you know, especially if you play with other guys who study and know how the offense is going to attack you. I liked it personally. As a nickel, you had your different tools. It's very important for that nickel, though, to know where three is, you know where your three is. And then as a safety, you got to know, okay, this field is cut in half. So if you're on that cover two side, you got a quarter safety on the other side. So that's not guaranteed deep field help. So It's tougher on that safety than it is like the nickels and the corners, in my opinion. And that's what Willis got put on the island with Tyler Lockett cover two. And he gave him that stick to the corner post. It was ugly.
Yeah. And then, what about you? I loved it, you know, and especially, you know, and a lot of times, you know, when you call that quarter half, you kind of hope that, you know, the route progression for the offense is the situation where it kind of plays into your hand, because sometimes, like you said, you know, the offense can dial up a route that takes away what quarter halves is built for. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So again, if I'm on that half, if I'm that half safety, I'm telling my corner, like, yo, you got to get a good jam. You know what I'm
got
saying?
Got to, mandatory.
Because at that time, it kind of frees me up as that half safety where I can kind of just put my eyes on the quarterback and just read. You know what I mean? Just kind of be that free player. Whereas if that corner doesn't get a good jam on that half side, like now I'm kind of playing like cover zero from 12 to 15 yards, and that's tough.
That's tough sledding, boy.
So, yeah, man, I used to like quarter half, man.
Yeah, I like it too, man. I like it too. You just got to switch it up. And I think it's important also that you're not at that predictable where the offense knows, hey,
know that you
come on this or we getting this, they're going to be in quarter half, because there are plays that you can dial up that's hell on quarter half. So, we got a question. What is a quarter half built for? We'll probably get into that in another episode. We break down these coverages.
Yeah. But I would say, for real, quarter half is a changeup, right? So quarter half, in my opinion, it's not a coverage that you want to – it's not one of your coverages that's a mainstay.
You want to always be in, yeah.
Yeah, it's not a mainstay. Your main stage is going to be 3D, man, cover four, cover two.
Yeah.
You know, those are kind of like your mainstays, yeah. Right?
Let's rewind a little bit, because we're talking probably on 200 level. Quarter half, so it's basically how we're dividing the deep part of the field. So corner's responsible for a quarter, the safety's responsible for one quarter, and then that other half of the field is one safety that's responsible for that entire deep half of the field. And then obviously your underneath defenders are kind of doing their own thing. So what AB just said is you don't want that to be a staple. I agree with him, because – for me, once again, you cut that field in half, so everybody can't be on the same page. Your staple defenses, everybody's got to be on the same page. Even if it's cover two, hey, we're a cover two team, but everybody knows their drops, where everybody else is going to be, and you're very, very comfortable in that, cover four, cover three, whatever. But when it's something that is split, it's already coming in as kind of, you know, broken communication. So you definitely don't want it, like AB said, a switch up.
Yep. A switch up, man. So to throw the quarterback off, to throw the offense off. And again, like I said, with that switch up, you just hope that, hope the offense didn't dial something up on us. You know what I mean? To what D-Bus said, you know, last week, Tyler Lockett was one-on-one with the safety. And basically, he has the whole field at that point in time, because on the quarter side, they're eliminated. So now this guy that runs a four, I don't know what Tyler Lockett runs, but he has the whole field to work with a safety. So we'll definitely get back to, you know, breaking down some film.
Definitely get into it, man. Let's get to this game, man. Giants at the Washington football team. Open up week two. The Washington football team is now favored 5.5. A couple days ago, it was at 3. So it's moving even more in football team's way. Obviously, Heineke will be taking the starting reps at quarterback.
Yeah.
And Daniel Jones will be the starting quarterback for the Giants. Man, which way are you going on this game? Which way are you leaning on this game tonight?
Man, you know, I still haven't made that decision. But, you know, looking at the reports, it looks like Saquon is going to be questionable.
He was limited last week. Week. I don't expect to get a ton of sleep.
Right. And then with the offensive line issues with the Giants, and obviously we always talk about that front four that Washington has, that front seven. They playing at home, coming off a loss. Both teams coming off a loss.
And you got Heineke in that quarterback now. But
yeah,
I'm taking Heineke over your guy. Danny, as you call him, Danny Dimes, I call him Daniel Jones. And, man.
Danny Dimes, man, yeah.
I don't want to say I was right, but Looking like some boo boo.
Nah, I mean, it's 1 week. You know, I know you. It's 1 week. It's 1 week. Yeah, I ain't calling nobody boo boo in week one. But
you go back.
So I don't know, man. Right now, y'all check the IG, man. Y'all check the IG and the Twitter in a little bit. A41. I'll have my pick for tonight's game. Sooner than later.
I'm gonna let y'all hold on. Let me double check this spread though, because like I said, when I saw it yesterday, it was 3. Let me make sure this is not a typo. Yeah, it's my yeah. The football team is still, they're minus 3.5. So this graphic is wrong. Let me go ahead and take this graphic down. According to FanDuel Sportsbook, they are favored at 3.5.
Shoot, 10 Hall said give him the Giants at 5.5.
Well, nah, it's at 3.5, so shit. You
can three and a half?
Alternate line.
Oh, so
yeah, that line right there was dead ass wrong. But watch the football team at 3.5. I like that. I like Heineke. The defense, they gave up 20 points, but you know, they played Herbert, gave up a lot of yards. A crucial drive in the end to seal the game by Herbert. But I think that defense will definitely play much better this week. Slade did make some plays down the field. Shepard made a nice play. But I don't think this Giants – I think this Giants team is going to have to lean heavily on Saquon and those receivers, but more so on Saquon because of who the quarterback is. And he's not ready to carry that load yet, at least. So I like the football team to win this one tonight and cover that spread. Let you know that right now. Right now.
And then, man, I'll be on the lookout for the underdog prop. I'm gonna give y'all some props. 5-player prop for the night's game.
Oh yeah. Speaking of, do I have my hit on here? My 5-piece. Oh, I don't have it on here, but I did hit that Monday night 5-piece that we put together on the pod. So I appreciate y'all. I think that was Monday. We played a role in that. And it hit me another one at night. This one tougher at night, though. But
I got some tough ones tonight.
Daniel Jones, that quarterback for the Giants, man. Do you think? Obviously, out there in the NFC East, you got Jalen Hurts doing his thing up there in Philly. I don't know who could have seen that coming. You got Dak Prescott. Obviously, you know, they got some injury they're dealing with out there. Then you got the football team, but Can the Giants win with Daniel Jones at quarterback? You know my answer. So this is I'm strictly asking you.
No, I think they can. You know, you say he's boo boo. I'm not gonna say he's boo boo. But again, like I said before, you know, I think Daniel Jones has the talent, but it's just he's having trouble holding on to the ball and
That's been an issue since he came in.
Right. You know, I mean, he hasn't worked. I'm not going to say he hasn't worked on him, but it's still a problem. And the O-line, you know what I mean? Again, it's no excuses, no explanations, man. I think he has the ability to do that. But, I mean, we'll see.
You know, it's a hard no for me. They're going to have to make some decisions at their quarterback position probably this next draft. They're gonna have to address that because they're building a team that got a defense that, you know, and not overreacting to week one. I think a lot of teams out there, even the ones that had stink starts, you know, you'll see a completely different team out there in week two. But Danny Dimes, man, this goes back to last year, and I just haven't seen a consistent improvement. So I'm gonna say no. We gotta start doing some of them Jameis Winston offseason workouts, man.
We're gonna see, man.
But yes, I mean,
we're gonna see.
I'm not even gonna read that comment, but ooh.
Right.
How you doing?
A lot of y'all tripping in these comments, but
they're going at your
man. I mean, it's love. I mean, that's everybody entitled to their opinion. You know what I mean? Ain't no love lost. You do what you do, baby.
It's part of it, man. So speaking of, we might as well stay in that division, though. Marcus Lawrence, he already broke his foot out there practice yesterday. out there in practice, because it's a lot of foot injuries in practice this year. Since obviously you're dealing with
extremities, ACLs, ankles, foots.
Yeah, and a lot of so he's out indefinitely. You know, they're big money pass rusher. They're and that's my pick. I think it might be both of our pick to win that division. Is this you worried about them at all going forward? Dallas got the Chargers this week.
I mean, because you he was, you know, with the defense struggling, not knowing what the defense is going to be, you know, he was one of those mainstays, right, where he was going to be able to get pressure on the quarterback. So with him out, like, where is that pressure going to come from? You know, I know you still got Randy Gregory, but where is that pressure going to come from? And like I said, there's already holes in that defense. Yeah. So that's definitely going to be – that's going to be an issue. And then along with that, you got on the offensive line, I think it was Collins who got a five game. Suspension. So it's just like, you know, it's up in the air with Dallas, man. But again, you know, we see if the guys can step in and
Gallup. I think Gallup, did he get injured?
Gallup got injured last game.
Yeah, he had a good week too.
Yeah, he didn't finish the game. So them injuries, man.
Injuries definitely piling up, and important at you know, important players, you know, big time players. I think the one thing that they can do is Michael Parsons. They can involve him more and get a little more creative with putting him in that pass rush game. I know he's been doing some mug stuff right over the center, but I would think we'll probably see him on the edge more. They do have some depth in linebacker with, you know, Jalen Smith and 55, and they just drafted Cox. They got some depth. Neil, and get down there and play linebacker. So they got some depth at that off-ball position. So I think Micah, the rookie out of Penn State, that was one of the things that he did really well, super athletic. I think we'll probably see him mixed in more as just a straight pass rusher, especially in sub packages.
Yeah.
They created some turnovers last week, too. They did create – I think they created three turnovers, if I remember correctly.
They did.
So, I still like them to win that division. I still like them. I still like them. You sticking with them?
Yeah, I mean, after week one, I'm not going – you know, I'm not going to overreact. I'm not going to panic. But, you know, some there, man. I'm going to see how this game goes tonight.
Philly finishing fourth. Are we feeling differently about them?
I do feel different about them. They came out and played well. I think as always, this division is going to be it's going to be tight. I still like the football team based off of, you know, just that strong defense. I think Dallas is strong, and like you said, just showing that Philly came out with Jalen Hurts and company. They look really well. They look really good too. So,
I was definitely impressed with Philly. You know, you never know how that team's gonna look. That first regular season action, new head coach, Jalen Hurts played some last. Last year I was high on Jalen Hurts, but he looked really good last year. Whoever had him on their fantasy team, I know he cooked Marcus Trucks. Don't change your picks now. I'm definitely putting them over the Giants. Let me tell you that right now, because Giants, they didn't look good last week against the Broncos at home at that. They didn't look good last week. But tell me a team that didn't look good week one that you're betting on this weekend that's going to turn it around.
Green Bay.
They got the Monday Night Football.
Green Bay.
At home versus the Lions. So I'm with you there. I'm not going to overreact to that. And they had probably the worst performance from week one.
They got whooped.
Yeah, they got embarrassed from wide.
My man Jamie said, man, I ain't been in a whooping like that since college. Like,
hey, he did that. Jamie's fine. Hey, I like Jamie too. You know, we were both high on him, but they got an 11.5-point spread at home against the Lions. You think they cover that?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think they cover this either. I think they definitely win. But, you know, divisional game early. The Lions, they lost. But they finished with a lot of momentum.
They finished strong. Yeah.
They finished strong. They fought. And to see that from your quarterback, to see that from your team, you know, head coach, you know, MCDC, I think they cover this spread as well. It's a big spread, 12 points.
Yeah, 12 points. Spread, yeah.
Especially coming off of, you know, getting your ass whooped.
And it's a divisional game. And, you know, a lot of times divisional games are always tough. So.
For sure. Let me check another couple more of these spreads, man. We jump in early. I know a game we talked about offline, Las Vegas Raiders. You know, coming off a short week, they at the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
Two of probably the more passionate fan bases in the NFL based on my personal experience. You got Raiders and Steelers fans everywhere. Like real, like, you know, not like Cowboy. I'm a Cowboys fan. Like these are like real, like generational fans. Steelers, they're favored by 5.5 at home. Coming off that upset win in Buffalo week one. Raiders coming off their big time win at home Monday Night Football. You got in this one?
Hey, man, I don't know. I've kind of been sitting back and thinking on this one, too. Like I said, you know, you just kind of mentioned the Raiders. They both coming off of huge wins. I don't know. I don't know about this one. I think this is going to be a hard-fought game.
Yeah, this was... I trust now. Both of these defenses up front, especially, but they dominated week one, and that's where we know how important that is. So I expect that Derek Carr made big plays down the stretch. Big Ben kind of turned around the second half, but I probably trust Derek Carr a little bit more right now. I know one thing. I'm gonna have Wallers, whatever his targets catches are. I'm taking over. He got targeted 19 times.
No, but you know Vegas, they gonna make it tough for you because they probably gonna have it at 8 or 9 for him.
It's probably gonna be like 8.5.
I'm telling you, they're gonna have it at 8 or 9.
Take it over. I don't care what they can set that bitch at 10. I'm taking it over. At home, Steelers at home. This is gonna be a good one.
Hey, so right now, 7.5.
That's an underdog.
I don't know if it's an underdog.
Or is that FanDuel? I need to know if that's
this,
underdog.
This 7.5, go jump that right now.
Yeah, I gotta put that on my ticket. Cause
go on D. Okay.
We gotta find that. But some people saying Steelers trust Tomlin, Steelers win, but don't cover. D. Bush can keep up with him and make it over the top. I tell you right now, it's not a linebacker.
They sound good.
It's not a linebacker.
Sound good.
It's Darren White. He's one of them guys that he's a walking mismatch. It don't matter who you put on. You know, he's big. He got the size, you know, matchup pause when he's on the corner. Safeties, most safeties he can run away from. They love him on those, like, over-type routes. Linebackers, they ain't got a chance. So, and when they asked Gruden about, you know, damn, 19 targets, he was like, shit, this is the best player I ever coached.
And some people was responding to that way. You know, he coached Derrick Brooks.
I responded to that like, hold on. But I'm assuming he's talking about offensively because, you know, he's an offensive coach. He's been a head coach a lot of years, but he's an offensive guy. You good?
Yeah, I'm good. Got this phone call.
Oh, okay. But that was a big statement right there. But that's what he said. He said what he said.
Yeah, he's standing on it.
But yeah, man. So that'd be a good one. Raiders at the Steelers. We got a mailbag question today. Take another one from Nick. We got to change this underdog ad. They've updated their free to play. I guess they was giving away too much free money. Updated that. We're gonna talk about this coaching little video we had from the sideline from Tone's Detroit Lions, Jeff Okuda, and his coach Pleasant. We'll talk about that, but then we can talk about where we are in these fantasy football standards. I know the projections said one thing, but should I be right back, man?
Well. Y'all tap in with me. Ravens didn't pressure very much. Thoughts of Mac Jones week one performance. Mac Jones week one performance. I thought it was solid. You know, again, starting a rookie week one. You gonna have those ups and downs. I thought they were gonna be able to get it done against the Dolphins, but I think it was he had a solid performance week one. I think he had the best week one performance out of the rookie quarterbacks that played. So yeah, I think Mac Jones. I think he continues to improve week by week, and I think he'll have a good year this year. Why did Baltimore go cover zero so much when the Raiders were beating it? Trying to get pressure. I think that's the only reason why, you know, you go zero. Get pressure and get the ball out of the quarterback hands quick. As you can see, that last play on the winning touchdown, I think Derek Carr did a great job of retreating. You know, they had some free rushers. Derek Carr did a great job retreating, giving him some time, giving the receiver some time, and getting the ball up. And yeah, man, cover zero is tough, especially if you don't get to the quarterback, because you got your DBs in the back covering for days. So if you go cover zero and you don't get to the quarterback, or you don't get the quarterback to get that ball out quick, cover zero does you no good. I'm putting a question into my man D-Buck, come back from his little potty break. Who starts? Speaking out loud with Renee and Borba, who starts first, Trey Lance or Fields? I'm going to go Fields. I think Jimmy G and them guys out there look pretty good. Started off 1-0. So I'm going to go Justin Fields if I had to put my money on it. Rhett Barham, does the Cowboys D have a chance to have a decent season still with Lawrence going out? I don't know. Like I said, like Lawrence was one of their, I think he was a captain. He was one of the guys that was going to get to the quarterback, one of the leaders on that defense. Cowboys defense look a lot better than what they did last year, week one. We kind of spoke on in this earlier in the pod where, you know, they created some turnovers. They were playing faster. So again, you know, it was only one game. You know, we can see they can have a decent season. Yeah, I mean, that's the key word. I think they still have a chance to have a decent season with Lawrence being out. But they're gonna have to step it up. Some players are gonna have to step up for them for sure. Shala Bills, not sure if I missed it. Who did AB and D Buck pick for the football team versus the Giants? I haven't picked yet, but D Buck is going with the football team. What do you think about the tandem Adams and Diggs? Does it remind you Thomas and Chancellor? No. I mean, Thomas and Chancellor, both are safeties. If you're talking about, you know, just in the secondary, but no, they don't remind me of Thomas and Chancellor. Not yet, to say the least. Not yet. I'm not saying that they can't get
nice,
to that
point. Nice combo, though. Nice
combo, yeah, but That Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor was something different.
That was an all-time combo. Can you? Is my mic clear now? My mic coming in?
Nah, you good. You good.
Yeah, I had to get this. I had to just unplug this joint. But
nah, speaking out loud with Renee and Borba, Diggs might be a guy. I think Diggs is a guy, man. He was on checking Mike Evans. And he was doing work out there. So they definitely had that pedigree.
They probably talking about Quandre Diggs from Seattle.
Oh, Seattle. Yeah. Damn, tripping.
Yeah.
Or is it, no, he definitely – no, he good too. Yeah.
Yeah, he I like him.
I'm tripping. I'm tripping.
Yeah, so, you know, Diggs the Earl Thomas of the combo. Thomas and
Adams would be the chancellor.
Texas safeties. Damn,
but they were
both got that 33 on.
Different though.
Yeah. That was an all-time combo.
And they bring something different. I could see very the similarities with Diggs and Thomas, but with Adams and Chancellor, I feel as though two different safeties, right?
Very different.
Two different safeties where Chancellor was, you know, that true in the box. They really didn't blitz him a lot. And you know, Adams, they put him in the pass rush a lot more. Aggressive as well. But I just feel as though Adams and Chancellor, you look at those are two safeties. But Adams and Diggs, man, they're a good combo. But I just think Thomas and Chancellor was just a little different.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And I heard somebody ask you about Baltimore playing so much cover zero. I didn't like it in those situations. I felt like they left nothing. It was like no surprise, like what they were going to be in when it was time, you know, for the rubber to meet the road. Like, you know, whatever your thoughts are on Gruden and Derek Carr, you know, they have seen a lot of football. And if you know, okay, I'm getting zero, I just got to retreat. I got a deep crosser, like, coming out a bunch, like that's tough. And then the Ravens didn't, obviously they weren't on the right level, so Humphrey got bumped off for the gusto. But I mean, they blitzed like 17 times. I just think they should have done a better job of switching it up. You had guys who gonna run away, you know, Ruggs gonna run away from guys, Waller's gonna run away from guys. I don't know. I think they need to switch it up a little bit more. You can't, especially when you're missing a guy like Marcus Peters. Like, you don't just, you know, you don't just throw the next guy out there and have him a zero all day. Like, that don't make sense. But I don't know. They got to switch that shit up. They got to
The
Chiefs, right, this week.
Yeah, I just think sometimes the coordinators, they panic. You know what I'm saying? Where I just think a lot of times in those situations where if you give me a good disguise, somebody might come free. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You don't always have to go to a cover zero. I mean, even – give me a fire zone. You know what I'm saying? Give me a good disguise. Give me a five-man rush, and somebody can come free. And as we always say, you know, if you got one-on-ones, you got to win your one-on-ones.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, cover zero, man. Like, nah, you can't call cover zero. If you call cover zero more than five times in a game, you're in trouble.
More times than not, unless so, like, the dog.
Cover zero?
But it's the thing. So, like, the Dolphins, for instance, like, last year, a lot of their, like, depending on who they were, what quarterback and what offense they're matching up against, shoot, you got Byron Jones out there. You got Xavier Howard out there. I could trust these guys on zero. Once again, it comes down to your personnel. Like, you had Everett out there. You had 30, I'm not sure of his name, but you can't just put guys in that fire like that and have them at zero against a quarterback. Derek Carr got a ton of snaps under his belt. And, like, yeah, the defense is sending one more than they can block. But if he just retreating by some – they got him in trouble in the red zone earlier in that game when Renfro ran the little option and up. Like, you shouldn't be able to run a double move and cover zero. Like, I'm going to grab you. So, you got to switch it up, and you got to have the personnel. You got Humphrey, Peters, and now you were – okay – Young, okay, we can go 0-0-0. But when you switch that personnel like that, you can't just stick to that same game plan just because that's what y'all do. Like, nah, you got to adjust. You got to adjust.
For sure.
But that can't be your base call either, though.
Nah, it definitely. Like, and if I'm a safety in the huddle, I'm changing that call. You don't keep sending all them zeros in here. Corners are looking at you like, yo, again? Not yet, bro. Hey,
them hammies, man.
Hold on.
Fourth quarter, overtime, zero. Like, come on,
hold
bro.
On.
Come on, bro. But yeah, man, that'll be a good matchup too. And Ravens, I think they're a team that's dealing with a lot of injuries on both sides of the ball that I would bet on bouncing back. Lamar didn't look comfortable on a lot of his throws. Like I feel like he missed a decent amount of pitch and catches. Carr did too early, but Carr late in the game, he tightened up. Lamar made plays late in the game as well, but those two fumbles cost him. But I think Lamar gets kind of back on track, and that so team, you know.
So you think Baltimore bounce back from all the injuries?
Yeah, not this week though. They got the Chiefs this week, Sunday Night Football.
So you start 0-2.
I think they start 0-2.
I don't know, man. It's gonna be tough for Baltimore. It's gonna be tough for Baltimore this year, man. This is like, look, I want to see them do great, but I think it's gonna be tough because I think the injuries that they have are very, very. It's gonna be tough on them, and then the division that they're in. Cleveland's gonna be good. Pittsburgh's gonna be good, and I mean, we see what we seen from Cincinnati, so we don't know what we're gonna
get. Know.
You know what I'm saying? So I think it's gonna be tough for Baltimore this year. I hope
you got them. You got them in Dallas.
But
okay, so you got Dallas and the Ravens dealing with some critical injuries on both sides of the ball, with both. You know, phenomenal young quarterbacks with Dak Prescott and Lamar Jackson. Obviously, Lamar and the Ravens, I think they're in a tougher division, but if you had to just pick one of these teams fares better than the others going forward, you going with Dallas?
I'm going with Dallas.
You going with Dallas, yeah.
Going with Dallas. Ravens,
yeah, it's tough. It's tough out there.
Yeah, man. For one, I would say – the reason why I'm going to go with Dallas is just they're the division. You know, that division every year is up in the air. Mm-hmm. You know, you still got Dak, you got Zeke, you got Pollard, you got Cooper. Like, you know what I mean? You still got, like, a lot of weapons on that side of the ball. You got some young talent on the defense, you know, guys flying around. Baltimore, you know, you got, you know, Lamar.
That line was getting baked.
Who that?
That whole offense, that was baked chicken. Like Crosby, Nassib,
yeah,
it was looking like all pros out there.
Yeah. So that's what I'm just saying. Like you got a lot of injuries, and again, man, if I had to pick one, I'm going Dallas.
So yeah, that's a good. I'm with you because of the things that you said. Now, speaking of the Sunday Night Football, we got it up. We got this line up. Now, is this still 3.5? Because I think the Chiefs, I said it last week when we made our picks, and last year, if you bet on the Chiefs at all, or bet against them, you know, they win. They don't do a lot of covering, though. I think they finally covered this one. We both had the Raiders covering last week, by the way. But 3.5-point line, I think the Chiefs, I think they win and they cover. I'm going to go ahead and lock that up before, because I think by kickoff, that line will be closer to 6. Yeah, it's gonna be closer to 6. Yeah. But yeah, I got a G.I. Joe. Am I wrong? Does Lamar leave the pocket too early? We just talked about how that line was getting baked, and I talked about earlier how he didn't look comfortable. But even when he did have a clean line, clean, you know, pocket, I don't think he looked comfortable. But I would say, you know, he's one of the best. Like, that's the best running quarterback we've seen.
So
since
my question is, when it's leaving the pocket too early, right? Now, I can understand if you're not mobile, like, you're going to sit your ass in that pocket. But if I can move and give myself more time, like, when it's considered leaving the pocket too early?
Yeah, because when you leave that pocket, that makes it harder on the second. That makes it harder on the cover guys. You know what I mean? Because that launch point is that the one good thing about playing, you know, the Bradys and the Mannings and the whoever, like, you know where that launch, Drew Brees, you know where that launch point is going to be. Not that they're surging, so it ain't making it any easier. But when you got a guy like Lamar who may not be on their level when it comes to picking you apart surging-wise, once he moves that pocket, that changes the odds. Great. That touchdown pass he had to – I can't think of who caught it, but it was on a rollout and he threw it in the back of the end zone. Like, that's things that only a handful of quarterbacks could do. So that's one of his superpowers. So, nah, I'd be damned if I go and talk about eight leaving the pocket too early.
Right.
Absolutely not. What else we got, man? It was Hollywood Brown, I think, who I think the offense definitely looks better. Somebody said, speaking out loud, Renee Borba, they need a real number one wide receiver. I think Bateman. And Sammy Watkins made some big plays, too. Sammy Watkins made big plays. Hollywood ball. But I like Bateman, a rookie out of Minnesota. I think he's going to give them a whole different layer to that offense.
Hey, let's talk about this. Here we go. They about to blow my phone up. Let's talk about this. You good?
I hear static.
Yeah.
Five, four, three, two. Okay.
You good?
Yeah, I think we're good.
All right. Let's talk about this. It's been going on the web, line coaching moment going viral. And coach was getting on him. Or this was Okoda, right?
Okoda, yeah, the young boy, second year. Boy. He was a top three pick for the Lions last year and, you know, had a rough year.
So let's
play the video real quick. Let's show him the video for y'all who haven't seen it. So, you know, looks like a – that was like that part of it, I think, was a different part of the game after he gave a big touchdown. You know, to the best quarterback room in the league.
Yeah. But how did you feel? Did you feel as though he was out of line? I know I've seen a lot of former players and was saying that, you know, they didn't like it. Or how did you feel about that sequence?
You know, I've only heard great things, and one about that coach, Aubrey Pleasant. I think Will Blackman spoke about, you know, playing for him. And I mean, it looks like hard coaching. It looks like when he was coaching him up that first time, Okuda wasn't necessarily being as receptive. You know, probably was kind of down on himself after making a mistake or getting beat or some shit. Young player, I think getting coached hard, man. And we talked about this. I think when the Dilfer incident came up, you know, it's a time to coach hard and jump on the guy, and then it's also a time to do what he did at the end.
You said Dilfer
put his hands on him. Like, that's what, let's go back to the clip. Let's run this clip back. Yeah, animated, all in his face, you know, boo, boo, boo. But you can see it's a big difference there. He didn't put as a grown man, he didn't put his hand on a teenager. So those grown men going at, you know, those are professionals. It's hard coaching. You know what I mean? Tipper's been flared up. You know, it happens. It happens. I don't have a problem with it. I think it's hard coaching a young player. And then, you know, sometimes you need to, you know, coach with love. But, you know, I didn't have a problem with that at all. What about you?
Nah, I didn't have a problem with it neither. John Jay, I ain't gonna say no names. I ain't have a problem with it at all, because you can tell he's saying, like, do your job. So obviously this is a situation where the coach, that's probably why he preaches, yo, this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna do your job. Don't try to, you know, do anything unorthodox out the boxes. Do your job.
111, and,
and like you said, you know, young boy looks like he wasn't receptive to what the coach was saying. So I will always tell the young guys, like, look, if a coach is getting on you, say all right, you know what I'm saying? Because The longer you try to,
and they go win. Coaches will always win in that moment, on the practice field, on the game. You know, now as a game, now if it's, you know, year 11, year 8, Antoine, but they, like, okay, it's more of a dialogue there. It's more, hey, this may be why I did. Hey, that's a different conversation. But this is second year corner. You know, shit is still going like this for him right now. So
like, just say, okay, move on.
Got you,
coach. You know, in the meet room, you can kind of be like, yo, coach, this is what it is. But I mean, like you said, dude, but it's hard coaching. I mean, it's a lot of soft people out here nowadays.
Facts.
Man, even a young buck, our coach put his hands on me, but it was out of love.
See, that's what I'm saying. I just don't think you got to go there. Like, you don't.
I mean,
it's definitely too soft.
You ain't got to do a lot of stuff, but do it.
If you can't get your point across without putting your hands on somebody.
Man, look at here, man.
That's not good coaching. That's not a knock on Dilfer at all. It was caught up in the moment, shit going, shit happens. That was his friend's son. So that relationship there, that's different. I'm not knocking him. He's invested in those kids. He knows those kids. But he even apologized and was like, hey, I hate of how the light that it put the kid in because he's a great leader and he's this and he's that. And, he apologized for kind of getting
more out of his leader. He knows the type of player that he has, that he has. So all this, man, we soft now, man. We soft. That's why I can't coach. We soft, man. We soft.
Man, he had to put his hands on me. Without putting his hands on. Man.
I went to one of my friends' high school game this past Friday, and one of his young players, good player. I'm like, he's good. Light, a little light in the ass, but good player. They won the game, but they got some big games coming up against, some big-time schools. And, he's a ninth grader, I believe. So he was like, hey, man. Remember that kid you saw? Yeah, he want to play JV now. So I'm like, when we was coming up, that was different. It was like, hold on. If you nice, you come up to varsity, you come get your stripes. But I'm telling you, it's a little different these days.
Yeah.
Go ahead, man. Let him play JV. And for some kids, I think it's better for them to go lower, maybe, and dominate maybe for a year or two, build some confidence.
Get their confidence up.
Yeah. So what's your thoughts on that? You coaching a high school team, one of your best skill players. He probably a buck 30 soaking wet. He like, hey, I want to go play JV. What would be your thoughts, feelings on that?
A ninth grader?
Ninth grader.
Yeah, I mean, that's a conversation that we have. I think it's a conversation we have. So obviously if he's feeling that way, and if I'm feeling different, I think it's a conversation I have with him and his parents. You know what I'm saying? But if he's, stuck on he's feeling more comfortable going down and play JV, I'll send him back down, like you said, get his confidence up, go out there and rock the next year.
Yeah.
As a sophomore, come on and play varsity.
Yeah.
But I think it's definitely a conversation, though.
Definitely gotta have that conversation. You gotta know the kid. But it's a conversation you have with his parents and, keep him, he's scared, let him go down. I agree with that. If you're scared, go to church, man. So, Be like that sometimes.
It definitely does.
Be like that sometimes, man. So let me put these fantasy football standards up real quick for the man-to-man. The underdog best ball.
I'm getting whooped.
So it's looking stank for your host right now. I'm up there at eight. The projections, they had me hyped. They did have me hyped, but I'm up there at eighth. I hate saying up there at eighth. Twan's down there at 10, We got Hoof Hardy 37. He's up top. Tennessee Mike's in the number two spot. And then DC 202 rounds out the top three. After week one early, whole lot of football left. 16 games left. So
16 games left, baby. It's not a sprint, baby. It's a marathon.
And like we said earlier, sign up on Underdog, use the code MAN, and now they changed the bonus to $10.
Hey, you got to pause this picture, X. Pause that, Slim.
Hey, that was he drafted Mac Jones, right? But yeah, man. So let me check this real quick because I gotta see how these Hoof Hardy. Let me see who Hoof Hardy has on this team. He got Kyler Murray at quarterback. That was the score.
That was big.
34.5 points. Melvin Gordon and Chris Carson were his two running backs that scored 19, 30, and 11, 20, respectively. And in the receiver room, he had Christian Kirk, 21 and a half points. Marquise Hollywood Brown, 16.4. Jarvis Landry, 16.9. CeeDee Lamb, 19.9. In his tight end room, whew, he had Gronk, who gave him 25 points. So, yeah, good week. Good week right there. Funny, I ain't going to look at these other ones, but we're going to take this down. But, yeah, man, it's ugly right now. But, you know, long season. A lot of ball left. Don't start celebrating just yet. But it's ugly out here. And, yeah, Patriot X, you got to pause that, baby. What else we got, man? Da-da-da-da-da. What was it? Tone, our resident Lions fan, our historian. Pay Calvin his damn money. Okuda jumped to his defense. Unfortunately, Okuda out for the season with Achilles. Yeah, man, he's had a rough start to the season, man. Verrett went down in that same game. I think they said he had a torn ACL. I was so happy for him to see him back out there because he dealt with a lot of injuries, you know, throughout his career. Jerry McCoy, you know, was out there. The Raiders, his season's done. He had an injury. So I hate that for him as well, man. Tough game, violent game, man. And we've seen it. Shit, we've had our fair share of energies, but takes a toll, man.
It does. Some
more than others.
Let's tap into this mailbag.
Let's see what Nicholas Riley Popovich. He's a
what he got
mailbag sender, man. We might have to bring you on the show one day, Nick. What we got, man? Let me see. Oh, Tone sent it here. All right, mailbag. Oh, this Lisa was just talking about this. First question. Got two questions. Are these both from Nicholas? Got two questions from Nicholas. Are the Lions cursed? They come from behind. He paused it. Good job, Nick. They come from behind. Pause almost every time. So they were down, what, 38-10, I think, 17, 38-17, I think, when I turned that game off. And then came back, made it a 7-point game. They covered the spread, didn't win. But are they cursed? You think the Lions cursed?
Nah, I don't think they cursed. So it's just it's culture, man. You know, you guys got to change that culture. And that culture starts from at the very, very top.
Very so, top.
At the very Ownership. Top. Ownership. So I don't think it's anything about being cursed, man. It's just gotta build that culture.
Gotta build a culture, man. They got a new coach, new quarterback. So they got some, you know, new GM. So potentially that culture can change. Same ownership group. But like I said earlier, jokingly, but hey, give Megatron his bet, man. I think he said 1.6. 1.6 and we good. I think that's what he said. I know they had some offer on the table. Hey, yeah, we're going to give you this amount, but you got to come and do 28 hours of – come on, man.
Just give me my money, man.
Yeah, give me my bread, man. Do right by me. Get that monkey off your back. But number two, Nicholas, second question. And where are you sending questions? DB22TOAB41@gmail.com. That's the mailbag. Second question, is Saquon worth starting in fantasy? Limited touch of Sunday with a short week plan on Thursday. We spoke on it earlier. I think we both agree on this one. No.
No.
Saquon might be on my team, actually. Let me check and see if this is – nope. I got Kamara, Joe Mixon. I ain't going to talk about my team.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man. So, hit that mailbag. Remember the underdog. Hopefully y'all got it early, got that free 25. It's now down to 10.
$10. Oh,
man. Some big games coming up. We gave y'all some input on them. And on Saturday, actually, we hit a milestone on the YouTube. I think we had 2,500 subs. We're going to do a giveaway at 5,000 subs. More information, more details on that on our Saturday episode when we make our picks. So make sure y'all tap into that 20-minute episode going over every game, giving our picks straight up, and then it gets the spread, and then our reasons why. I'm picking more underdogs this week. Let me tell you that right now. I was scared last week. I was picking them against the spread, but picking the other team for cover. So learned my lesson. Anything else before we let the people rock?
Man, nah, man. Like you said, check us out on Saturday. We make our picks. Sure, I'll be up up in D.C., man, that good Howard versus Hampton rivalry game.
Okay, so. That should be thick out there. But, fire play. Damn, Ace Boogie reminded us we need a fire play. Shh, let me give you one real quick. I'm bummed. Over under. Taylor Heinicke, 35.5, longest completion. I'm going to stay away from that. Gibson, Antonio Gibson, 91.5 rushing and receiving yards. I'm going over. They're going to lean heavy on him with a backup quarterback. So over 91.5 rushing and receiving yards for Antonio Gibson. Terry McLaurin, 73.5 receiving yards. Where you going with that?
I'm going to go over.
73.5. Terry, I can't. Okay, you're going to go over. 25.5, longest reception for T-Mac.
I'm staying away from that.
Okay, staying away. Adam Humphries, 2.5 receptions. Logan Thomas, 51.5 yards. Daniel Jones. Let me get one more football team. J.D. Masecki. McKissick, 18.5 receiving yards. Come on, you got to give me some of yours, man. Where you going? I got over on Gibson right now so far. That's y'all give me some more.
Adam, I like these sites, like Adam Humphries, two and a half receptions. Like, I might go with that. I might go with like the over.
Yeah, I like that. Logan Thomas, 51.5 receiving yards.
I don't know, because I'm looking at last game, and he had 3 for 30.
I'm going over on Logan Thomas, just because, you know, you got that backup quarterback. I think tight ends, running backs, you're going to lean heavy on those. So that's my thoughts there.
And then Kyle Rudolph. I like the over on Kyle Rudolph, 2.5 receptions. Evan Engram, Evan Engram is out. So I think Kyle Rudolph will have 3 catches.
Okay. I like that. Kenny Golladay, 58.5 receiving yards. Sterling Shepard, 65.5 receiving yards. Darius Slayton, 3.5 receptions. That's Slayton. That's appetizing right there. That 3.5.
But he need 4. So it's so tough because you got Sterling Shepard. You got Kenny Golladay. And you know what I'm saying? So Darius Slayton, he's your number 3. 4 catches. Like, I don't know.
And Saquon. Saquon, 40, under 46.5 rushing yards. I'm going under.
I'm staying away from Saquon this week.
I got my 5.
Say your 5.
Antonio Gibson, over 91.5 rushing and receiving yards for the football team. Adam Humphries, over 2.5 catches. Logan Thomas, over 51.5 receiving yards. Saquon Barkley, under 46.5 rush yards. With my luck, he'll break the first one for 70. And then last one, Kyle Rudolph, got this one from you, over 2.5 receptions. So that's my 5. Right. I like them.
Okay. So I'm going to go – I'm going to start off Kyle Rudolph, 2.5 receptions. I got him over. I have Adam Humphries, 2.5 receptions. I have him over. Terry Mack, I have him over 73.5. I think I'm going to go
And Heinicke, you trust? That's too high for me with a backup.
Yeah, I'm not.
Uh-oh.
You can hear me?
Yeah.
I'm going to go Logan Thomas, over 51.5. And I'm on my last one. I'm gonna go with. I'm gonna go Sterling Shepard. Under 65.5. Now I'm gonna go over for Sterling Shepard. I'm gonna go over. So Terry Mack 73.5 over. Adam Humphries 2.5 receptions over. Logan Thomas over 51.5. Sterling Shepard over 65.5 receiving yards, and Kyle Rudolph over 2.5 receptions. I can't hear you, bro. You muted.
My bad, my bad. I saw Nakiba ask if the Saturday episode is live or recorded. That's a recorded episode. It'd be out Saturday around 6 p.m. or before. Yeah, you picked. It's a stank game tonight, but we got these plays regardless. So appreciate y'all, man. See y'all on. Y'all will see us on Saturday. We'll see y'all on Monday.
Yeah, you're.
Out of.
Peace.